This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Josh Wheeler is the associate director of the Thomas Jefferson Center for the Protection of Free Expression, and he joins us live in studio. How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to see you. I heard some of yours and Bob's appearance on the WINA Morning News program. We look forward to this every year, you coming in and announcing the Big Muzzle Awards. Of course, it made the cover of the Progress, and you were just telling me this picture on the cover of the Progress today, that's actually a drawing from the free speech wall.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We recruited Pete O'Shea, who's one of the co-designers of the monument, to do a drawing for us. It's actually, we've done this for a couple of years now, to sort of announce the muzzles were coming out. And so we put this up, and he came up with this great design of a Jefferson nickel. But if you notice in the picture on the Progress, it says 2009 muzzles instead of the normal text. There was some more information off to the side about that. Well, but Pete's just an amazing artist.
Yeah, that's very cool. Now, Before we talk about the muzzles, while we're on the topic of the free speech wall, that was recently nominated for a big national award, right?
Well, it was actually, and it's already won, as you mentioned earlier, it got into a certain stage of winning in this award. It's called the Rudy Bruner Award, and I knew nothing about this. I cannot.
Who's Rudy Bruner?
Yeah, exactly. A few weeks ago, I'd never heard the name, but now it's near and dear to our hearts. But it's this incredible national competition for really innovative public projects in terms of architecture and such. And they narrowed down from about 100 applications to get 5 finalists. And we've made the 5 finalists. The other ones, it's pretty heady competition. We're the small guy in all of this. I mean, they're talking about Millennium Park in Chicago.
Where Obama spoke, that huge park?
Exactly, exactly. And the things they've done there. And you can find the other nominees by just Googling Rudy Bruner Award, and they'll tell you all 5 of them.
Yeah, and while you're online, you can also check out the center at tjcenter.org. Fantastic website, lots of information there. And if you've never checked out that website, be sure and do that soon. It's podcasts and all sorts of good stuff.
Well, it's interesting because the only reason the story came up on this, although we knew about it, was the committee now does site visits to the 5 locations, and the last 3 days they've been here doing these site visits at Charlottesville. And apparently there was a Channel 29 reporter down at the monument, I think filming Pete's drawing, and saw these people, hanging around, studying it intently. And they just happened to ask them,
What are you doing here?
And found out. And so they really broke the story.
Wow. So that's fantastic. So when will we know if you win the national award?
I think they said sometime in May.
So soon, just a few weeks.
Yeah, not long at all. I think they left from here to go to New Orleans to visit one of the other sites.
And, of course, the free speech monument down there, which the free speech wall, the free speech monument, it's already won a whole slew of awards, right?
It's won about, at last count, I think there are 4 awards, a number of regional architectural landscaping awards. It won an international award for the best use of natural stone. I didn't know there was such a thing, but apparently, my reaction was yours when I first heard about this. But then, as I investigated, this was really a pretty big award. We shouldn't be so dismissive of what we don't know anything about. But it was
fantastic.
Very honored. Well, I take no credit for that. That all goes to the genius of Pete O'Shea and Robert Winstead, who designed this monument.
Yeah, and it's fantastic, and we're so fortunate to have it here. We're talking with Josh Wheeler, the Associate Director of the Thomas Jefferson Center for the Protection of Free Expression, online at tjcenter.org. And today, of course, the big news, the announcement of the annual Muzzle Awards. Remind us again, what are the Muzzle Awards for the new folks we have in our community who might have not heard of them yet.
We award the muzzles every April around the birthday of Thomas Jefferson, or near the birthday of Thomas Jefferson, to those individuals or institutions who in the past year committed some of the more ridiculous or egregious affronts to free expression, in the opinion of the Thomas Jefferson Center's Board of Trustees. And as they do every year, they range from the sublime to the ridiculous. Well, not the sublime, I guess, but I guess from the ridiculous to the even the more serious, but
tyrannical.
Yes,
let's just call it what it is.
Disturbing.
Yeah. Sorry. And of course, hence the name muzzle.
Exactly.
To muzzle free speech, which of course is enshrined in the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution.
Exactly.
So I'm just going to open the floor to you. Hit some of the more interesting ones that jump out at you in this year's list.
Well, the one that tops the list, and we don't rank them in any way, but the one that's obviously going to catch the most attention right off the bat is that we gave a joint muzzle to the Democratic and Republican national parties. And for their complete indifference to First Amendment principles, as evidenced by their lack of speaking out against the many measures against protesters at both of their conventions. They were involved in terms of setting up these security measures. They often wash their hands and say, oh, we don't have anything to do. That's a Secret Service. That's a local police. That's not true. They are there when these things are planned. They acquiesce. They don't speak out against them. But even if they didn't have any positive role in actually creating these free speech zones, for example, that's one of the security measures that are most offensive. The idea that in order to exercise your right of free speech, they put you in a zoned area, often surrounded by fences, concrete barriers, at a distance far away from the convention where no delegate can actually hear or see you. They did this in both in St. Paul and in Denver this past year. And you never heard word one from either party about how this is inappropriate. The same thing goes as far as the arrest, the overzealous arrest on the part of the police. I'm a big defender of the police. I think they've got a very tough job. But when you arrest 800 people and you only actually prosecute a handful of folks, that's an overreaction.
There's something else going on, yeah.
And particularly when a number of those people are members of the press who are there covering this kind of incident. That's very disturbing for freedom of the press when people who clearly have their credentials out, who are there just as an observing role, when the police arrest them. That's very disturbing for freedom of the freedom of speech clause of the First Amendment.
What's been the reaction to that? Their awards. Have you gotten any reaction?
Well, the Republican, the reporter who wrote for the AP contacted the Republicans and they didn't comment. They didn't return. The Democratic Party commented but said, well, we don't feel it's deserved because we had nothing to do with these, which entirely misses the point.
Yeah.
One, they did have something to do with it. But secondly, that they didn't speak out against this kind of thing at what is really, in many ways, the ultimate moment of free expression in this country, which is these nominating conventions for our nation's highest office.
Yeah, what a wonderful opportunity right. For citizens to speak out.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
And instead, they're sent down the road and put behind a fence.
And the parties are just sort of whistling and putting their hands in
looking
their pocket
the other way.
Looking the other way, exactly.
Yeah, like, we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. And do you see that changing? Because that's...
No.
Not about to change.
No.
Regrettably.
And then some people will say, well, why don't you give the awards to the police, or why don't you give it to the Secret Service? And we've done that in the past for other sorts of measures. But you can't expect change to come from the people whose primary job is security. The change is only going to come when our political leaders recognize and push for this kind of change in approach and attitude.
Yeah, and stand for the principle that
this
kind of muzzling is not acceptable
exactly.
In a free society.
And that's why we award it to the parties. And maybe, you know, cross your fingers, but whether you're an optimist or not, maybe the muzzle will help to nudge them down the road towards providing greater protection for First Amendment principles.
My guest is Josh Wheeler. We're talking about the 2009 Muzzle Awards from the Thomas Jefferson Center for the Protection of Free Expression. What's up next?
Well, my favorite one of the year, if in terms of the as I say, this is the one that in which my jaw just drops to the greatest degree. A judge in Michigan sentenced a man for 3 to 10 years in jail because he wrote a letter that was published in a newspaper. It was a letter to the editor, and the man writing the letter is a minister, but he's also a civil rights activist, and he's a real thorn in the side of local politicians. But he wrote a letter to the editor complaining about another judge. Now, this man, I have to say, was actually on probation for apparently violating Michigan's election laws. Now, that's a conviction that's being appealed. But while he was on probation, he wrote this letter. And
Speaking out against the judge that oversaw
his
case?
Criticizing the judge who sentenced him, saying that he's not following the law, he's doing all these things. And he's not following the law of God either. This is where it gets interesting. And then he says in this letter, "Judge, if you do not hearken unto the ways of the Lord will smite thee with consumption and boils and fever and all these sorts of things." You know, quoting or actually paraphrasing biblical verse and doing it. Well, then the judge revoked his probation because he's not allowed to engage in making threats against people. But you're not allowed to do that anyway under the First Amendment. But there's a very specific definition as to what can constitute a threat. It has to be a threat that a reasonable person would believe is a true expression of an intention to cause physical harm to somebody.
Right. Meaning there's a difference between threatening to burn down your house and saying God's going to give you boils.
God's going to give you boils. And the judge in this case, I kid you not, in the transcript, he said, "A reasonable person would perceive this as a threat because knowing you're a minister, they might think that you have a direct line to God. And therefore, all you have to do is put in the call, and God, acting as a hitman on your behalf, will smite whoever you direct him to smite." But the interesting thing about this,
what year is it again?
Yeah. Well, it turns the whole fundamental principle of Christianity on its head. I mean, I thought God was the omnipotent one, and not man. Man, but apparently man has the ability to control the actions of God. And
so did he actually go to jail?
Oh yeah, he did go to jail. The case is on appeal right now.
So he's in jail.
Well,
for writing a letter to the editor.
There was an appeal just to get him out of jail.
Okay.
And he is out of jail, but then the same judge, after the appeals court, said, "No, you can't throw him into jail for this. We're going to wait until we hear the whole case before we allow you to throw him back in jail." But then the same judge who threw him in jail said, "Okay, I'm committing you to house arrest." So he is under house arrest right now. He can't leave his house until this appeal
is resolved. So the powers of the state are still keeping this man bound, basically, in
prison.
But
we're hopeful. The Thomas Jefferson Center, in fact, filed a brief in the appeal in support of the minister, arguing that this wasn't a threat and there was no basis for revoking his probation. That the right to criticize elected officials, even judges, is really one of the core reasons we have a First Amendment.
Yeah, yeah.
And to throw a guy in jail for 3 to 10 years for a letter that he published in a newspaper.
It's like something that you would think would happen in old Russia.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, we were raised to think that happens elsewhere.
Exactly.
And the older we get, the more we realize, it goes on all over the place.
Yeah, it does. And
even here.
Exactly. And that's part of the point of the muzzles, is to remind people that we have to be vigilant, because these kinds of actions take place every day in the United States. And unless we're vigilant and speak out against
them, you put the spotlight on them and call people on it and say, "This is not appropriate, this is not acceptable," they'll keep doing it.
That's exactly right.
And it'll get worse.
Exactly.
Josh Wheeler is with the Thomas Jefferson Center for the Protection of Free Expression. They announced the big muzzle awards this year. We have time for one or two more?
Well, anybody who has a computer can have time for all of them. As you said, we can just go to tjcenter.org, and we have not only the text of all the winners, but we have some visuals involving them, links to videos,
So you just click on Jefferson Muzzles right at the top of the page.
Exactly.
You see, and you have the whole archive back to the first awards in 92.
From 18 years ago. Yeah, that's right. We've been doing this for 18 years. Yeah. I guess the other one, there's a similar one that we gave to two community colleges in Texas. And this is interesting because this year there seems to be we're censoring S-U-R-E. S-U-R-I-N-G, not S-O-R-I-N-G.
Yeah.
Censoring a number of organizations who have penalized conservative speech, conservative issues. And I don't know why that is. It just happens to be this year. But two colleges in Texas refused to allow students to advocate for pro-gun rights on campus. And it just, in one case, it was a situation where students wanted to wear empty holsters, because they're criticizing the right, the restrictions that don't allow them, even if they're licensed to carry a concealed weapon.
There are some places
allowed,
that the law says
do that. That's
you,
right.
You still can't bring your gun here.
And so they, but this campus said they couldn't even wear empty holsters to protest. The other one was an interesting one, not the Texas, but this involved a situation where a student wanted to share his Christian message, pro-Christian message, and the school had him arrested because he didn't protest within the proper free speech zone on campus.
Again, with the
This one, I love this one. It's not only a free speech zone away from student traffic. The free speech zone was only open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from noon to 1 p.m. And you had to apply to use it. You had to apply for a permit 2 weeks in advance.
Lord.
But the school in that case said, we're not punishing him for what he wanted to say. We're just punishing him because he didn't do it within the free speech zone.
Oh, my gosh.
Fairly unbelievable.
And that rule still stands, I would imagine.
Well, that got challenged in court. And just, I think, a few weeks ago, they reached a settlement where the school agreed to dismantle this kind of policy, that, in fact, this kind of a free speech zone is unconstitutional on a public campus.
Yeah, and so, you see a lot of those kind of things on around schools, whether it's a university or public schools.
It's getting that this is the trend that I see as being very disturbing, the idea that people set up these zones for free speech. I always thought that the United States was a zone of free speech with little maybe pocketed areas where you have exceptions to that for very good reasons. But now it seems to be inverted, that idea. And now it's that, oh, no, you can only exercise your right of free speech in these particular spaces. And
now, they've reversed it.
It's this idea, and which it's just crazy that they actually argue oftentimes. No, we're not trying to control free speech. We're trying to facilitate free speech by regulating it and
on Tuesdays and Thursdays from noon to one.
Exactly,
behind in that little fenced-in area over there.
Right.
Josh Wheeler is with the Thomas Jefferson Center for the Protection of Free Expression. You can check out the complete list and all the stories with pictures and video of the 2009 muzzles online at tjcenter.org. Josh, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Corey. Always a pleasure.
We're going to break for local news.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.